Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to be able to sing in worship. It's good to be able to hear from different people. Well, as Sarah has already said and Dorothy's already shared, we're continuing on with our series of How to Neighbour, and today is actually the last week in this series. Well, at the risk of being harshly judged by you each this morning, I thought I would share one of my teenage fascinations with you, which is always dangerous. But here we go. That's it. That was my teenage fascination. Marilyn Monroe. I have no idea how this fascination even started, except that my mum's name is Marilyn. That's the link I've got. But I just loved this woman. Her pre-Hollywood life, her life during Hollywood, her, I think maybe, I can't even remember, four marriages, maybe twice to the same man, even her death. I had books. I had calendars. I had posters. I had framed pictures. So many things. And when I was about 16, my lovely husband, who was obviously not my husband then, gave me an almost life-size picture of Monroe for Christmas one year. I'm sure my parents were absolutely thrilled because it was actually too heavy. We couldn't hang it on the wall, so it just actually stood at the back of my desk and leant against the wall. And I kid you not, it was about this big and it was just like from her waist up. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't have it anymore. It broke in one of our moves. Maybe accidentally, deliberately, on purpose. But then I remember first encountering a song written by Sir Elton John titled Goodbye Norma Jean, which has lyrics based around Monroe's life and death. And in this song, there is this verse that says this: loneliness was tough, the toughest role you ever played. Hollywood created a superstar, and pain was the price you paid. Loneliness was tough, the toughest. Loneliness was tough. Loneliness is tough still for many. One of the things that has really struck me this week is how loneliness does not discriminate. And as I've thought again about these words that were written about Marilyn Monroe, from the outside she appeared to have it all, didn't she? Fame and fortune, an amazing career. But life was obviously very hard for her and she was lonely. If you were one of the some 50 million people worldwide this week who watched any of the Harry and Meghan interview with Oprah, you will have actually heard Meghan say that she was lonely. Even as a duchess living in a palace, again with fame and fortune, she was lonely. Loneliness does not discriminate. And the longer I live, the more lonely people I discover there really are in the world. You can be sitting in a crowded room, perhaps even sitting here today, and feel alone. You can be a stay-at-home parent and feel alone. You could work in a thriving, busy business around a lot of people each and every single day and not have a close friend that you can confide in. Or perhaps you're a successful business leader and still have no one. What about people who are in dysfunctional marriages and feel lonely every day in their own home? Loneliness is tough. And certainly in this pandemic over the last 12 months or so, it has become more prevalent than ever. And this has consequently had major, major impact on people's mental health. So the question I want to ask this morning is, how do we love the lonely? When Jesus was a man here on earth ministering to so many people, a lot of the people that he ministered to were lonely and isolated. Some of this was because of the time in which he was here. But he reached out to widows, to tax collectors, who were very disliked people. It's the wonderful story of his interaction with the woman caught in the act of adultery. And he met with those who were sick, really sick, and he treated them all with respect and love as he went about doing that. Of course, as Christians, that's the model that we want to follow. We want to follow the model that Jesus set for us, his example. COVID has provided some challenges even in that, how we reach out to people. And one of the ways that Jesus did this that I want to share with you this morning is a way that we really have been stopped doing because of COVID. But Jesus showed people love by touching them. In Matthew's gospel, we read, "Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. 'Lord,' the man said, 'if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean.'" Now, the Levitical law that was well known by these people, it would have been well known by Jesus, it would have been known by the leper as well, contained very detailed regulations about leprosy. And it was the duty of the priests of the day to actually ensure that these regulations and these laws were obeyed. Lepers were regarded as unclean, both physically and ceremonially, and they were the outcasts of society. When they were cured, or if they were actually cured, thanksgiving for their cleansing had to be accompanied by ceremonial sacrifices. The leper that we just heard about came close enough to Jesus that his request was audible. His voice was heard by Jesus. We can assume that he had heard about Jesus and Jesus' healing powers, but he seemed to still doubt if Jesus would want to make him clean. But perhaps that was because he was actually breaking some of the laws of the day. To be close enough to engage with someone in conversation or to speak to someone was not allowed. But the very next verse tells us what Jesus' response was. Jesus reached out and touched him. He touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. The first thing Jesus did before he said anything was to reach out and touch this man. He showed love by simple human contact. The same story is recorded in Mark's gospel. And in Mark's gospel, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion and reached out. Imagine for a moment how lonely this man probably was. Isolated from his friends and his family, isolated from society, unable to work. And he has this loving encounter with this healer who was willing to defy the law and regulations of the day to show this man that he was loved and he was cared for. Now, I'm not suggesting that right now we should be reaching out to people and touching them, because we know that this is not really permitted under our current restrictions. But I want you to take this example of Jesus and perhaps file it away for post-pandemic. Because never underestimate the power of reaching out your hand to someone who is lonely. The second thing that Jesus did so well is that he loved people by listening to them. In just a few weeks, we will be celebrating Easter and we'll be reflecting on the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And there's a great story in Scripture that happened just after Jesus was raised to life, and he was appeared actually to some of his followers who were walking on the road to Emmaus. Two of Jesus' followers, it says in Scripture, were walking along, and Jesus suddenly came and began walking next to them, and his true identity was hidden from them by God. And it says in Scripture, he, that's Jesus, asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. And in the next few verses, the followers outline to Jesus all that has happened in the lead up to the crucifixion, Jesus' death, right up until that morning when they couldn't find his body. And what did Jesus do? He just listened. He didn't try to tell them his side of the story. He didn't ask any more questions. He just said, "What things? What things?" Last Wednesday morning, I was sitting in the office just up here, and as I often am in the morning, and I got up to make myself a cup of tea and was about to head down the steps to go to Ladies' Fellowship. And as I kind of got to the top of the stairs, I saw a lady who I'd met just the day before who'd come in for some assistance. And I could see that her demeanour was very different to the way that it had been on Tuesday morning. And I said hello to her. I didn't even know her name. And I could tell that she was not in a good way. And so I said to her, "Would you like to come and sit in the cafe and we'll just have a bit of a chat?" So she just came and she sat with me, and I hardly actually said anything. She had a lot on her mind. She's got a lot on her plate. And she just talked and talked and talked. And at the end of our time together, she said to me that she felt much better and she had a bit of a plan now for the rest of her day and what she was going to get on and do. It was not hard. And I don't tell you this story so that you get to know what I do every day. But I tell you this story because I want you to know that you don't have to be a counsellor. You don't need to know all the answers. You don't even need to know the person. You just need to have ears to listen. To sit with a lonely person or to talk to a lonely person on the phone doesn't cost us a lot. But it's worth so much to the person to whom you are listening. You know, maybe 15 minutes out of my morning on Wednesday. I hadn't made that time allowance for that day, but that didn't matter. Just to be able to sit there with her was actually a real privilege. Jesus listened as he walked along the road that day. It wasn't his own agenda. Didn't offer advice on how they could get over their grief. He just listened. The final idea I want to share with you this morning is that Jesus loved people by giving them his time. As Jesus' ministry continued to advance, there were many times when people would come from all over the place to stop, to ask him a question, to receive healing, to feel his touch. Or they came just to see what he was going to do next, what miracle he was going to perform. And so often he would willingly give of his time. There are, of course, times when he went away by himself to recharge, to spend time with his Father. But often he would stop and just share his time. One of my favourite stories in the Gospels is found in Luke chapter 5. And it tells a story of while Jesus was teaching and some Pharisees and teachers of the law were there. They were sitting nearby. And in the New Living Translation, it says, it seemed that these men showed up from every village in Galilee and Judea as well as Jerusalem. And it says that the Lord's healing power was very strong with Jesus that day. And then there's this great narrative of these men carrying their friend to Jesus, and they couldn't get in the door. People were packed in this house. And so they go up onto the roof. The roof of the house would have been flat. Often there were stairs up the side of these houses. And they went up and they dug through the roof so that they could lower their friend down to see Jesus. Now, Jesus was teaching, but he stopped what he was doing. I guess if someone's coming through the roof, I would probably stop as well. There's no one coming through right now. And whilst we know that this man had friends, you think of the life of being a paralyzed person, it wouldn't have been easy. There were no wheelchairs in those days, manual or otherwise. And to get around, he would have been reliant on his mates. But when Jesus saw what was happening, he stopped what he was doing and he gave the man his full attention. This then, in turn, got the attention of everyone else who was there. Jesus took time out from what he was doing to show love to this man. And again, you know, sometimes that's all we have to do, isn't it? Stop what we're doing and give someone our attention. Show them that they matter by giving them our time. Show them that they are not alone by turning away from what we're doing and focusing on them. Over the course of this series, we've looked at how we can be better neighbours by reconciling racism, by embracing orphans. Last week, Sarah shared with us about how we can empower the poor. And whilst I do not want to degrade or downgrade loneliness in any way, I think that loving the lonely is one of the easier ways that we can be a good neighbour. We heard this morning from the interview with Dorothy that it's not hard to pick up the phone and just say, we've missed you. To send a card and say, we hope that you're doing okay. I believe that as Christians, we are called to be people who are kind and loving. And I know for a fact that often when we reach out to others, we get far more in return than what we actually give. Not that we do it for that reason. So this week, let me encourage you to show love to someone who you know is experiencing some sort of isolation or loneliness. And this could be for so many reasons. I loved what Dorothy said before, and I wrote it down when she said that at the end of her devotions every day, she asked God to make her a blessing to somebody that day. In conclusion, let me just say one more thing. If you are a person who is currently experiencing loneliness, I want you to try and reach out to somebody. We're not designed to do life alone. We're designed to be in community with others. But even more than that, we worship a God who we're designed to be in community with. God doesn't want us to be lonely. And God knows us intimately. He loves us. And he understands what we're going through. So reach out. reach out to somebody. We heard before from the scripture from Isaiah 41, which has this amazing promise in it. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." I believe God will help us as we reach out to love the lonely. But I also believe that if you are lonely today, that God will help you too. We're going to sing together, and I invite the worship team to come back. This beautiful song that says in some of the lyrics, "The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side the Saviour, he will stay. To this I hold my only hope. My only hope is Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his." Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example that we can find in Scripture of Jesus being a good neighbour. We thank you that as we read through the Gospels and the stories of him here on earth, that we can find better ways to live. And I pray this morning for each one of us here. You know us intimately. You know what we're going through. And I pray that if people are here who are experiencing loneliness at this time, if there are people watching on the live stream who are lonely, that we'll be able to connect with them, that they would be able to reach out, that you would give them the strength to be able to reach out and say, "Hey, I need some help." But Lord, as a community of your people, we want to be people who will just listen to the lonely, who'll spend time with them, who will touch them, and who will just want to see them loved. May we follow your example. May we strive to be better neighbours in everything we do, I pray in your precious name. Amen.